Praise be to God. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, again for calling us to come together so that you can speak to us. That is the purpose that you called us, Lord. It's a table, Father, and Lord God, we trust that you're going to serve it, that our hearts are going to be filled up by the time we get out of here, Lord. We pray that you speak, because, Father, a gathering, Lord God, that people gather without you, Father, is a dead gathering, Lord. This is a live gathering, Lord, because you are live yourself, Father, and you're here with us, Father. And Lord God, we look up unto you that you may speak to our hearts. That's the purpose that we gathered, Lord. For those people, Father, who have needs, Father, we pray as you speak to your children, Lord, speak a faith in that heart. Speak some strength. Like one time, Lord, in the scriptures, Father, when somebody cried, Lord, can say, I can only believe this much. Help my unbelief. Do the same, Lord God, to thy children, Lord God, as you speak to us today. For those who have some weaknesses here and here, Father, maybe some body weaknesses, Lord God, like illness, we commit them to you. Whoever their father or brothers and sisters, be with them. Thank you for hearing our prayers, Lord God, and bringing our dear brother Don back, Lord God. And we are so thankful for that, Lord. We are so thankful for everything, Lord God, that you've done to us. Thank you, Father. Be with us as our prayer now. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, we pray. Amen. Amen. I'm sorry, Brother Michael, I again forgot my handkerchief, and I had put it in my pocket. Can you give me a towel, please? Just a paper towel. Thank you, Brother Michael. Thank you. Thank you, Brother Michael. Thank you. I wasn't supposed to preach today, but I don't know what I was supposed to. He told me, can you take? I said, no, because I don't want you to sit there and you've just come and people are expecting you to talk to them. And, I said, he said, that's okay. And then this one, he called me and said, I missed my flight. And from there, things just started rolling. So I said, just relax, brother. I'm going to take it. I wanted to preach, of course, because I have something that I didn't finish. That's true. But again, I thought you're going to give us how things are there in Canada. And, that's our church there. We have a church in Canada. Whenever two or three are gathered in thy name, there, Christ is there. And therefore, and that's a church. So those are more than three there. So we have a church there, and we would like to hear how they are faring, how they are doing. Like that's what I thought. And by the way, we don't actually take a sermon in Kenya to give the mission report. We don't do that. But as I said, it's good to do those things that are good, you know. we learn from what we do in Kenya, and we learn from what we do from here. The good things, we do them, and that's good. So I thought that the brother would talk about that a bit, right? But that's okay. That's okay this time. Now, I don't think I will write here very much today because I brought it. Brother, did you get that quote? Oh, okay. I brought it here. It's just gratifications part two. And I've tried to, I put those there. There are three, there are sequence of events, kind of. The sequence of events, kind of. The church ages, like that. And I'm not going to read that. But it's just to show, I just want you to have that record of the way I see it. Maybe you can put something in between, I don't know. And if you do, just let me know, because maybe I missed something. Because we don't know everything, as you understand. We don't know everything. It's the Lord who helps us. So if you have anything to put in between there, just let me know that we will be able to put there. But you can see the sequence of events. We have the church ages. Before the church ages, we have the Old Testament. After the Old Testament, we have Jesus Christ coming and dying, the first coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he died on the cross. And after that, we have had the church ages. the church ages until Brother Branham. And the church ages ends with the seventh church age. It's over. After the seventh church age, it's over. And the prophet says, it's not that it's going to be over. It's over. It's over. It's done away. The church ages are done away with. When that happens, Revelation 10:7 happens. Revelation 10:7 happens. No, it's Revelation 10, 1 to 7. Not 1. Revelation 10, 1 to 6 happens. The church ages, Revelation 10, 7 is just part of the church ages. If you get it right. It's just part of the church ages. It's Brother Branham in the seventh church age. In the days of the voice of the seventh age. You see that? Yeah, like that. And like that. So and some scriptures are now making sense. So when he comes, that's the rapture. That is Jesus Christ coming down, and we go to the rapture. That the rapture has happened. Immediately after the church ages, we get the rapture of the church. The bride is taken. Nobody else is taken but the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the whole world gets divided. Judgment comes. The kind of judgment that's here is not the kind of judgment. There's another judgment. Because many times the prophet talks and he puts this judgment here and this judgment here. This is a judgment that is judged, that mercy is gone to anybody else except the bride. The bride is taken, the other ones are judged out. They are judged as sinners. They are out there. And so the world is completely divided. You're either here or here. That's a judgment. And that is rapture. That's a rapture. The bride is taken. The taking of the bride is what people talk so much about. They don't talk about what happens to those ones. Those ones are done. It's judgment. A judgment. There's no more mercy. Let the righteous be righteous still, let the sinner be sinner still. So they're over there, and it's like that. No, the bride is taken. The bride is taken. The prophet says, they go to glory. You know, the bride goes to glory. Where is glory? Glory is in Christ. There's no other glory. Glory is in Christ. They get into Christ. They are taken by Christ. So now they get into Christ. They are in Christ. And now, when we go on, you're going to find something. You're going to find something as we go. That, and I saw a new Jerusalem coming from heaven. But what is heaven? The prophet says, heaven is the millennium. That's the old heaven. The prophet says, see, millennium is the old heaven. After the old heaven is gone, and the old earth are gone, now we see the bride coming. Where was she? She was in the millennium. The bride was in the millennium. As now she comes down as New Jerusalem. And we're going to get that a few minutes. You know, all that sequence. You can see it. You can see it. But now, during this time of the rapture, what you need to know is there is also something that is called tribulation. I'm also looking at the tribulation. I'll be very honest with you. There are some very confusing things about tribulation. About the tribulation. Well, the prophet talks like this war of the bombs is part of it. He talks like that, but that one is not very clear, and you can study. You also just go to study about what is really exactly the tribulation. And he says the tribulation that Israel had, he says that was amateur tribulation. This is great tribulation. See, that is amateur. This is the great tribulation. The great tribulation now comes when? During the rapture. They go together. And another thing that happens is another war there. The prophet is going to talk about that also. He's going to talk about the war of Armageddon. Still during the rapture. When the church is raptured, all that happens. I hope you can get that. All that happens. There's Armageddon. Armageddon, the prophet says, is a spiritual war. He says, it's when the devil takes his church, his bride, and the Jesus Christ takes his bride, and there's war here. He says, that is the spiritual war. But he also says that Armageddon has a physical something, because the bombs will be dropped here on earth. He says like that. He also calls that Armageddon. But the real Armageddon that happens here. And the real thing, I want to say something else. The real things are spiritual things. These other things are not very real. These are going to go.
The real thing that are eternal, that are actually forever, is the spiritual things. So the real thing is that war of Armageddon called, that war of Armageddon called the spiritual war. The lie against the truth, the whole truth, during what? During the rapture. When the bride is raptured and married, Jesus Christ comes in fullness. Now that fullness is full word. Full word, 100% word against the lie. That is what is Armageddon, the spiritual Armageddon. I hope you get that. Now, at the same time, or during that time when the bride is raptured, still when the bride is raptured, there comes bombs. Do you get that? And I'm going to read a quote here where the bombs finish everything. All things are finished. The prophet says, all things are finished. There are those bombs. The prophet says, This earth cannot take another pain. He says the first pain was the First World War. The second pain was what? The Second World War, is right? It cannot take another pain. Another pain will remove it from its axis. It will be so hard, fire and everything, and he calls it atomic bomb. But that I hope you get this right. This war, that is bombs and things like that, there's one thing it will not finish. It will not finish the devil. It will finish everybody, but not the devil. Remember, God is a spirit, and whoever worships him must worship him in truth and spirit. Is that right? So is the devil. The devil is also a spirit. So it's not going to finish him. It's not going to finish these bombs, the atomic bomb, and these will not finish the devil. The devil will be there. But he will now be now, when those bombs happen, he gets into a prison. I hope you get that. From there, he gets into a prison. I hope that I didn't want to go by one, but that's okay. I didn't want to go by one. Because you can see them there. I just put them there. I've just put them. I just wanted you to have them on your list so that you can just have a look at them. Praise be to God. And I say, if you see something that is not exactly, please show me. Because I don't study here that I know everything. No, I don't do that. I just study, and we are studying together. Some of the things I understand as I talk here. Because I was telling another sister, I was talking to another sister yesterday, and we talked, and she asked, of course I sent her what I preached on Sunday. They already wanted, some people wanted what I preached on Sunday. And I told her, people sometimes we make ourselves like we know everything. No! Let me tell you, it's God who preaches to us. It's God who talks to us. And he can talk as he talks to all of us together. It's the Lord who teaches us. It's God who speaks to us. Nobody knows nothing. Unless God does it. We don't know. I don't stand here feeling like I know better than senior. No. We are all together in this. We are running and God is talking to us. And then let's give an ear. There's always a purpose of something. There's always a purpose where maybe you have a song that touches you so much, and it's a song that you have sung here so many years, but now today is so much, I don't know why, you want to sing for people. There's a purpose for it. Just give an ear to what the Spirit says. Amen. Just give an ear to what God is wanting us to hear for that time. I hope you get that. Let's humble ourselves and give ear to what God is wanting us to. If you come with a dream, God is wanting to talk to us. Let's give an ear, brother. Whatever it is that a sister has, that a brother has. We are all in this, running from one source, from the Father. The Father is feeding us. That's manna from above, brothers. And oh, we are looking here. Nobody can give that manna except God himself. Praise be to God. Now, so the next thing is, Armageddon, and those bombs come. And then the next thing that happens is, everything is gone. So the devil is jailed. The devil is jailed. I didn't know that. Armageddon and bombs. So when everybody dies, that is the prison of the devil. You cannot there. You cannot in front of that. In front of the bombs. That is the imprisonment of the devil. Maybe I have that quote here. I don't know where I put it here. That is the imprisonment. When you hear that he's gonna be put in a bottomless pit, that is the bottomless pit. He doesn't know what to do. The prophet said, what's a bottomless? He says, it's a baseless something. It's a place that does not have any basis. Now this is, he's jailed in a baseless something. He's not anywhere seated somewhere. It's a baseless something. It's no base. Can you get that? What is it? He's actually imprisoned in a prison of circumstances. He cannot work. He doesn't have any basis. He doesn't have any basis to work. He's just there. He cannot do nothing. He's just there. He cannot do nothing. So he's rendered, do you say important or something? Something like that. He's rendered useless. He cannot do nothing. And he cannot work. The only people, because the next thing is the resurrection, the first resurrection. That, and I told you, Brother Don, I explained very well. Maybe there's a resurrection here. And I read that quote in the book called, what do you call that book? You can get it in Easter Seal, but you can also get it, it's the rising of the sun. It's the rising of the sun. He says, what a resurrection? And that confused me. And I will be very honest with you, it confused me. Because I thought that is the resurrection. But after that, looking at it, you find that there is a physical resurrection. Where the prophet says, they are going to even leave. And we read those quotes. I'm not going to read them, but they are there. They are with you. I think Brother Michael sent to you, and you have them. Where the prophet says, will they have corporal bodies? Another thing is, when God talks about corporal bodies, it's a physical body, it's something physical. Corporal is something physical. It's about a body. It's about a body. It's about the body. You have a body. So it's a corporal body. He says, what is it? It will be glorified body in the millennium. I hope you get that. But now the devil is imprisoned because all the people are dead. All the people are dead. Now, what is there? He has a resurrection that is called the first resurrection. Who resurrects? Only the bride. When did she die? She died when everything was wiped out. The bombs and everything, it was cleaned out. Because we read another quote. We read some two quotes last Sunday. Is it Sunday? But you must die. This body has got to go. So whatever kills you, whatever drives you, whether it's bomb, malaria, cancer, whatever, you got to die. But when now you die, it doesn't matter whether you are dead or alive. It doesn't matter. The Paul says, if I die, it's okay. If I live, it's gain to you. Whatever. Whatever God wants to be, let me be. Praise be to God. So they resurrect. That is the first resurrection. First resurrection, nobody else resurrects. The prophet is asking a question. What is this Revelation 20 verse 4? Revelation 20 verse 4. You read that? That these people will be there, that the people that were killed because of his name, the people that were like that. The prophet is a complete bride. It's a complete bride that will be there. That will be a complete bride in the rapture. No, in the resurrection. Because some of them will be dead. And now there's also a spiritual resurrection. I told you that. When the prophet says, and I said, me, I go to Paul. But the prophet starts with, I think in the book called Works in Spirit Express, the prophet starts with, I think, Ruth. He says, Ruth is here. He says, Wesley is here. Brother, oh, he's here. It's all brother. He says, that's a resurrection. But that's a resurrection to the church. Okay? So the church is saying, and all that is here. That's a resurrection. But that does not mean that those people will not resurrect and be in the rapture. That's the first resurrection. Remember, they don't die again. They don't die again. That is the end of them and the bodies. That's the end of the bride and the bodies. Can you get that? Because how many bodies do we have? Three. Is that right? This, the orphan, and what? And glorified. So they have got their glorified bodies in the millennium. So it's done. It's finished with them. In the millennium, it's finished with them. So in the millennium, remember, there will be no sickness. There will be no nothing. It will be an Eden. No nothing. There is no suffering, no nothing. We are happy there. And the prophets, in another quote, I can look for it, because I remember I read it somewhere sometimes. The prophet says, that is when the earth is getting sanctified. Just like you got sanctified, because you are justified, sanctified, and then the Holy Ghost, is right? That's when the earth was given sanctified. But I don't build a doctrine in one quote. I don't. But he said that. The prophet said that somewhere. That's okay. But this millennium is so great and so important to the bride. And the bride is the only one that is there. The other people that are good, I call them foolish virgins, whatever you're going to call them. You can take that one, that name there, and call them. The example that God, that the prophet gave, was Gamaliel. Some people that were good, Gamaliel and Nicodemus. He says, some people that were good, they were good. He said, they will be given life eternal at the judgment. And they ask, why did you give us life? He said, because you came to see me when I was in the hospital. And he was, when did I come to see you in the hospital? I've never seen you. He said, when you did this once, this little one, when you did this to the bride, when you stood with the bride, you are doing that to me. Because me and the bride are one. So when you did that, you did it to me. That's why I'm going to give you eternal life. But they are not in the first resurrection. The prophet and the Bible say, in fact, I realize that if you can read the Bible and preach this. You can just read the Bible and preach this. In the book of Revelation. He said, and the rest of the dead did not arise. The rest of the dead did not come up until the second resurrection. I hope you get that. So now, in the second resurrection, we are in the millennium, okay? Now, so the bride resurrects. Now we go to the millennium. Who is in the millennium? Only the bride, brothers. Only the bride. Nobody else. Only the bride. I hope you get that. Only the bride is in the millennium. With glorified bodies. The prophet is calling it a honeymoon. Where you marry a girl and you take her out somewhere. Just to be happy. That will be a happiness of the bride. What a place. What a thing. I desire that. I want that. I want that to come as quickly as possible. That's why you hear John said, come and come quickly, Lord. Come and come quickly. Yes, I want that. I really want him to come quickly. I want to go in the millennium. That's so good. Praise be to God. So we go to the millennium. So now, from the millennium, listen very well. There, the prophet was asked a question. And I'm repeating this, I think I said this on that day. The prophet was asked a question. Brother Branham, is it figurative? Is it 1,000 years? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, until 1,000 years? He said, yes, the Bible said it is 1,000 years. It will be a 1,000 year millennium. It's the seventh. It's the rest day. It's the rest day. Like God rested in the seventh. That will be the rest of the bride. And now, how many comings do we have? Three. Okay, now, what is the first one? He came to die. Do you see that? The first one, he came to die. What is the second one? So that you don't get... I don't think I put those things here. You can put them there. What's the first one? He came to die, right? What is the second one? To get... I got what I paid. I got her. And he got her. He got the bride. That is that's what... That is what John. That is what the people in Matthew 24 was asking. When do you come? And he said, when you see this happen, when you see this, this is when coming. They were asking him about the second coming, not the third, not the fourth, the second coming. That is when he comes to take the bride. And that is when he's foran. That's when he is foran by John, by Brother Branham. He's foran. Brother Branham was forerunning Revelation 10. I think this is very hard, brothers. It's not. It's just, I'm just following something. It's just, you can see it. Revelation 10, 1 to 6. Revelation 7, listen very carefully. Revelation 10, 7 is actually forerunning Revelation 6 to 1. That is Brother Branham forerunning the coming. Revelation 10, 1 to 6 is his coming. And he then said, time shall be no more. What is time shall be no more? A brother asked me a question. In Kenya. And he was telling me how people are arguing. And he says that when you say time shall be no more, it's not that time of the clock. That's true. And he says, what is it then? They say, don't say it's the coming of the Lord. I said, no. Let's not even have an idea. Don't think. He said, I told them, don't think. I told the brother, don't think. And tell them not to think. Let me not think and let them not, nobody think. Let's go to the prophet and ask, what is time shall be no more? Time shall be no more is the end of the church ages. You go to there, it's there. The problem is we are thinking too much. Thinking is good, but go there and ask the person who is given the mandate to think and tell you what he's thinking is Brother Branham. And he's going to tell you. After that, the message comes down. What about Malachi 4:5? Malachi 4:5 was Revelation 10:7, but that was taking the Pentecostal age that is around here, back to Pentecost, to the first Pentecost. I think you know that. That's the basis of our faith. Malachi 4:5. Before the great, what is this great, by the way, we are not on that. What is this great and the dreadful day? Before the great and the dreadful day of the Lord comes. Before that, he will come and take us back to that faith. Immediately after taking us back to that faith, that is forerunning. Taking us back there is forerunning, because when he comes, will I find faith? When I come on earth, will I find faith? He will find faith because there will be somebody to introduce. He's somebody to prepare us, get away from her, my people, and get out of this denomination and come and have this faith. He has taken us back to that faith. So he will find faith. That is the introduction. That is the forerunning. And then from there, the prophet says, not the prophet, even the Bible said, and the saints and the bride will walk on the ashes of the righteous. Is that it? What will that be? It's when the bombs and things have come and destroyed everything, and then the bride is resurrected, and their glorified bodies, they walk on the ashes of the dead, of the people. The Bible starts in the Revelation, in Malachi, that it will not leave stubble or what. And if you go by the prophet there, he's going to say, it's like when you have your farm of wheat and you burn it. And when you burn it, you can see that kind of ashes there. That's right. That's exactly. So the righteous, the bride will be resurrected, and their glorified bodies, they walk on that kind of ashes that has been burned. Is that right? Is that clear, brothers? That's right, that's in the millennium. Now, after the millennium, where do you go? After the millennium. Now, we go to the, I was saying, how many comings? Three. Okay, the first one was coming when he came, is that right? What's the second one? What is the second coming? The second coming is when he comes for the bride. He takes the bride. He claims the bride and he takes the bride. Brother Don, yes, that's claiming. That claiming is... Listen, because people, I don't know why, Brother Don, I just like explaining things. Maybe I'm not supposed to explain everything. I see. This is the claiming. In Kenya, we don't do like we do here. Here, we go to supermarket and get this. This is what I wanted. And go there and check. It's called checking out. Is that right? Now, in Kenya, we don't do all that. There's a shopkeeper at the back there. So you go there and you tell him, I want the Bible. I want the Bible. Now, the shopkeeper, we have our Kamau, it's called Wakamau in our shopping center there, where they go to buy things. So he says, now, listen, you want the Bible? He takes the Bible from the counter and gives it to you. But before you do that, you give him the money. How much is it? $20. Okay, $20, you give it $20, 20 shillings, he puts it there, then he gets the Bible and gives it to you. Do you get that? What is this claim of the Lord Jesus Christ? I paid it. He has already given this Wakamau money. What was the money? The blood. Is that right? The blood was given. That was all. That was all. He gave it to the shopkeeper. Now he came to get my Bible or get my kilogram of sugar. What was he paying for? For me and you. For the bride. So he comes for the bride. For what he bought. For what he paid for. I hope that's clear. That's exactly right. That's a claim. We use the hard claim, like Brother Ramaya. That's true, Brother Don. It's claim. He claims what he bought there. This is mine. I want it. I've come for it. That's exactly right. Now. And I'm sorry, I like just explaining things like that. Where are we now? Yeah? That kind of. Thank you, Brother Don. Thank you, Brother Don. So, second coming is over. Is it right? Now, that coming. What is the that coming? The that coming to come with the bride. Where? From where? And I saw, after he came, listen, This is nice. When he comes with the bride to the millennium, that's the third coming. He comes with the bride to the millennium, not after the millennium. Remember, he got her. Did he get her? Or he got his, what he bought, is right? He got her. I have her. Is right? Now she's never the bride. Sister, right now you're married. The bride is married. There's nowhere she's going. You don't marry and throw your wife there and throw your... No, you are with your wife. And she is with her wife permanently. She's not going to go nowhere. Wherever she is, he is. They are together and they are one. And they're going to stay there like that. That's why I was talking on Saturday. I was telling the people, that is the bestest. And I was using that word. And somebody said, I don't think there's any word like that. Bestest. There's no any other better place. That, and we found out, is a resurrection. By getting to Christ, is a resurrection. Exactly. Individually, you are resurrected. Not only the church is resurrected now when he comes, but even you individually is resurrected. We said, we read the quote in paragraph 19. I've written it here so that for your reference. Where he says that when he comes, because 1962 he was foreigning for him. When he comes, he will be the Word. He will be everything, even millennium. He will be perfection. He will be eternity. Jesus Christ is everything. When you get into him, you get into eternity. And I told you, Brother Don, I challenge this. Give me one definition of millennium, and I'm going to tell you that is Christ. I'm going to prove to you that is Christ. And I'm also going to prove to you that is you. You have it. Because him and you are one. I'm going to prove it to you that you have millennium. You have perfection. That's why even sin cannot be imputed on you. You are as perfect. You are as white as snow. You talk about the body doing what? That's nothing there. You are as white as snow. No sin. No nothing. You are clean. Clear. You are in eternity. How? You are eternal. And I told you, even this body is eternal. It's only going to go there and come back. You are eternal in everything that you are. But you are mortal. So it's going to fall down and come back. But you are eternal now. Not tomorrow. Not you be now. If you are eternal, you've never not been eternal. The only confusion is, there was a period from eternity, it dropped to time. And it's going to go back to eternity. Even this period of God time, you are still eternal in a dispensation, in an element called time. I don't understand how to say that. I don't know how to say it, but I hope you get it. Even in this element called time, you are still eternal. There's no time. If you be eternal, then you'll never be eternal. You cannot will be, no. Eternity is no beginning, no ending. So even this element called time did not stop you being from eternal. I hope that's clear. Where are we at now? I need my quotes. All right. Okay. So in the millennium, that is the third coming. He comes with the bride and they get into... Now, that's where people now will disagree with me. And that's okay. Because we have been talking about so much spiritual. I'm going to read a quote tonight that is expecting a physical Jesus. I don't know whether with holes. I don't know. Because he said, if you see a physical Jesus with holes, that's not Jesus. Is that right? I don't know, but he says physical. So you have a Jesus here with a physical bride and a physical Jesus. And he will sit on the seat, on his seat, called the seat of David. He is on his seat. That is true. His seat is a bride. That is true. But he has another physical seat that is called the seat of David. That is in the millennium. That's what he says. I'm going to read. And listen. We go, as I said, that is good to go by revelation. But let our revelation also go by what he says. I hope you get that. But don't leave what he says. Go by what he says. It's very important. Now, from millennium, from millennium. After 1,000 is over, what happens? What do we have now? The second. Now, that coming, I said that coming is coming with the bride in the millennium. The prophet has said that about 3-4 times. That coming is the coming of the bride with the bridegroom to the millennium. That's that coming. Now, I know we had a question that time. We had a question and we looked at it. But this is open now. God is opening this to us. I'm not saying I'm the first one or the second. I'm not trying to say those things. I'm just saying what things I'm saying. Maybe the other people who have seen it, I don't know. Maybe. And we are all seeing it. And maybe we had even seen it because after Sunday, I think it was Sunday, the sister told me, I've been looking at it and I'm wondering, how is this? I think he told me that, sister. You've been looking at it and what is this? That's seeing it. He maybe have even seen it before me because that wondering is seeing it. You're seeing something that, and that is how God comes and opens it. After wanting, what is this? That's how God opens it. So it's not me, it's the first one. We have had questions, what is this? That's God trying to say, there's something here I want to reveal to you. Praise be to God. This is not credit to anybody. This is credit. If there's anything good here that's coming up, it's credit to Him. He's revealing it to us. He's helping us. He's helping us. Okay, millennium. Now, from millennium, where do we go? The second resurrection. The comings are over. Comings are over. There are three. They are over. In the millennium is over. Millennium has come. 1,000 years is over. Where do we go to? We go to the second resurrection. People resurrect. Now, that's why there's the process, the second death has no effect on the people who resurrected in the first resurrection. Because you are in Christ. Even wherever he is, when he sits to go and judge in the horizontal judgment, you sit with him. You never leave him. You are a judge. You sit with wherever he is, you are. If he's called the King David, you are the wife of the King. King David. Wherever he is, you are. So when he goes to judge, the Bible said, it's Daniel who said, and there was thousands. She said, there were thousands times, there were 10,000 times 10,000 standing before him. Amen. And here with him is thousands and thousands. Because the bride is not very big. Like the other crowns. Can you get that? Yeah. Judging. He was judging. The bride and the bridegroom are judging. Okay. What is second resurrection? Second resurrection is when everybody now resurrects. The bride don't need to resurrect. The bride resurrected in the first resurrection. Can you get that? Now, because of the resurrection, let me ask you a question. Because if you're foreign, Becky, let me ask you a question now. How was the devil imprisoned? Because of circumstance. Because his people are dead. Is that right? Now they have come. After millennium, they have come. They are here now. What is it? He's released from prison. He's now released from prison. What happens? He starts work. His work is one. Lie. If you see a devil, the devil don't lie. If you don't know, the devil don't lie. When he speaks himself. Just like God. God doesn't tell the truth. Have you ever heard Jesus saying, that says the Lord? Have you ever heard that? That says the Lord by Jesus Christ? No. Have you ever heard that from the Bible? Paul said, that says the Lord. Jeremiah said, that says the Lord. You have not, is that right? Have you ever heard Jesus say, that says the Lord? No! He doesn't say, he's the Lord himself. He can say, that says the Lord. What he's saying, he's saying. In other words, when he speaks, God is a spirit. And whoever worships him must worship him in spirit and truth. Why? Because he's also truth. When he speaks that truth. The devil is not a liar. He's a lie. When he speaks that lie. That is his work. So when he comes up, that's why the greatest thing that the devil does, the greatest Armageddon that people miss to see is not the bombs. The greatest thing that happens is the true Armageddon is the lie versus the truth.
And the Armageddon is talked so much, but I think it's in Revelation 16, Revelation 17, verse 16. And that's where it is mentioned. But you find out that in Revelation 6, talking about the fourth seal, he brings the fourth seal and Revelation 19. He brings them together and he says, that is Armageddon. See that? But Armageddon is just mentioned there. And Armageddon, he says something. Okay. But now we have come up here and the second resurrection has come. We are now in the second resurrection. I didn't know that I would go into this. But yeah. What happens? The second resurrection is the devil comes out of jail. He's out of jail now. He's here. What does he do? He starts his war again. What is his war? Lying again. And he starts that war called Gog and Magog. It's called Gog and Magog. And I wish I could read this quote, but that's okay. We don't read them. I'm going to read them just like that. Gog and Magog. Suddenly released from prison, he starts that war. That is cheating again, he's lying again. Okay. Then from that, there's judgment there. I could have written how between Gog and Magog and fire, I could have written the white throne judgment. The white throne judgment. And from there, God rains fire and brimstone. That's another fire. This fire is rained by God. This is different from the fire that we had in the Armageddon. Can you get that? That fire of Armageddon could not, listen very well, could not burn Satan. But this will destroy Satan and all the spirit and germs and everything. Can you get that? So that's why the devil was not destroyed. The devil was not destroyed in Armageddon. He was not destroyed. In those bombs, he was not destroyed. But here, he's completely annihilated. Him and his people and everybody that's not of God is annihilated. Praise be to God. And from there, we walk to the new heaven and new earth. Now, the question is, what is the new heaven? New heaven is the millennium that we had. And the prophet says in Revelation 20, Revelation 20, verse 3, he says, and I saw, and there was no heaven, there was no, the first heaven was gone, the first earth was gone, and I knew a new heaven and a new earth. Is that right? That's Revelation 21. Revelation 21. Verse 3 says, and I saw a new Jerusalem coming from heaven, from God. Where is heaven? He just said that millennium was at first heaven. That's where the bride is coming. That's where what is new Jerusalem? It's not a church. It's not a big thing. But of course, the prophet says there will be an area, a certain area. The earth will have come to a certain shape. And that's where they will stay. Like the new earth and new heaven, it will be like it's somewhere. I hope you get that. that's exactly right. That's exactly right. but I think you see now is a new heaven and a new earth. Where was the first earth? The first earth is this one. What is the second earth? What is the first heaven? He says in millennium. And I saw that woman that's called the New Jerusalem coming from heaven, from God, from heaven. Praise be to God. All right. Can I read my quotes very fast? Just a few minutes. When are we supposed to close, by the way, Brother Michael? No. I've got to be very careful now. The church is adding and has broken out. The bride is called. We have already entered into the tribulation period. He says, like the prophet says like that. No. It's a question. That's a question. Have you the prophet says, no. It was 1964. If you look, when he says these things, you see, there was a time, and I don't want to get into that, but I don't want to get into that. There was an overlapping. There was an overlapping of that age and this age. So sometimes he says, Laodicea is not gone. He says, there was an overlapping. He's talking to some group of people. But let's know. Now, I wish that I could just have more time on that. See. The bride, when she's taken from the church, then the church will cease. Laodicea goes into chaos. The bride goes to glory. And the tribulation period sets in upon the sleeping virgin. For 3.5 years, while Israel is getting its prophecy. You remember the prophecy of Israel? Okay, we can talk about that sometimes. But I think we have talked about it. Then tribulation sets in upon Israel. And then comes the battle of Armageddon, which destroys, that's the thing that I was saying, which destroys all things. All things is destroyed. And then the bride turns back with the groom for 1,000 years, the millennium reign. After that comes the white throne judgment. After that comes the new heavens and the new earth, and the new city coming down from God out of heaven. Eternity and time braids together. My comments. After the first coming, he takes the bride. There is a spiritual war of Armageddon. There is also a spiritual millennium to the bride. That is paragraph 119. One is just for your reference, like that. The physical Armageddon, I've said all that. Paragraph 34. And we know that history is crossing. That the world's history will soon, that is, in the visible union, will soon be over. Then we are going to step into a new day, to the great millennium. That as one believer, I believe in a millennium, reign of with Christ, 1,000 years upon the earth, the physical return of the Lord Jesus Christ, to take a physical people glorified by his cleansing blood. Okay. That is just, I've just said that. There's three comings of Christ. He came once to redeem his bride. He comes next in the rapture to catch away his bride. He comes again in a millennium with his bride. That's exactly. He comes down the third time with the bride in the millennium. All right now. The heading there is Second Resurrection, Gog and Magog, Hoyden Judgment, all together there. It's just a few quotes. I don't think I have so many quotes. I just talk. I don't need quotes, but let's finish this. Will the church who died during the tribulation period, be in the resurrection, the second resurrection? There's a question he's asking. Will the church which died during the tribulation be in the resurrection? Let's see how he's going to answer it. Will they also wait until the resurrection of the ungodly, the unjust, and the unjust? This is the answer. What is he talking about? The question is asking, if this resurrection, first resurrection, will everybody, even the somebody like Gamaliel, arise? He says, no, they do not be like that. They will not rise. The only person who arises in the first resurrection is the bride. But the rest of them, the unjust, the bad people, and the good people, Gamaliel, will arise together. That's what he says here. That's what he's saying here. The just and the unjust will be raised at the same time. Will they live again during the millennium? No. And the rest of the dead, except the bride, the rest of the dead, live not for the end of the 1,000 years. Now, that's pretty short, but I think we read that the other day, but that's okay. Now, in the question and answers again. Now, there you are to the question a while ago, see. At the judgment seat, Jesus, the church, the bride, was raptured, went up into glory, and was up there and was married, returned back to the earth and lived 1,000 years. At the end of the 1,000 years, Satan was loosed out of the prison. That's bound by angel with a chain. No, not a lock chain, but a chain of circumstance. All of his subject was in hell. All that was resurrected on the earth was redeemed, and Jesus with them. He couldn't work on nothing. That's the bride. He could not work on the. But at the end of the 1,000 years, the second resurrection, blessed and holy is he that has part in the first resurrection, on which the second death has no power. But those people that will resurrect in the second resurrection, some of them are not eternal. Can you get that? Some of them will die again. In fact, to them it's not even a resurrection. That's why the Bible or the people say they will never resurrect. Because it's like they are just coming here to suffer again and be taken to the lake of fire. They are coming from a pan to the fire. Is there a saying like that? Coming from the pan to the fire. Yeah, they are coming from the hell is better. This is hell, this is lake of fire. Okay. Mm-hmm. All that was resurrected on the earth was redeemed, and Jesus with him. He couldn't work on nothing, but at the end of the 1,000 years, the second resurrection, blessed and holy. And he says like that. Now notice, in this second resurrection, when they come up, then Satan loosed out from the prison for a little season. Then the judgment is set. Now watch. Jesus with the bride as king and queen sat at the throne for throne judgment. That's where the queen and the king are sitting. Okay. And the books were opened.
and the books of the sinners, and another book was opened, which was the book of life. And every man was judged thus by the bride. By the bride. The bride is here. He rose. When did he rise? He's been here for 1,000 years. Before this judgment seat, she's been there since she arose for 1,000 years. Can you get that? The bride has been risen already. She had a glorified body. Now, another question is, what kind of a body do they have when they arise? What kind of body? There's no any other body. Let me say this. According to the prophet and according to the Bible, there's nowhere else, Brother Michael, that people go. They only go to one place. Good people. Whether you are better than this, well, there's only one place. That is the sixth dimension. Can you get that? There's no any other body for somebody that is called righteous. When they die, they get to that body called theophany. Whether it's Nicodemus or whether you wait, there's not a better body or a lesser body. They go to the theophany. Another thing is, there's no better glorified body or lesser glorified body. When they arise again in the second resurrection, when they arise, they are given glorified body just like the one you have. The bride already has. Forget. But there's no any other. There are only three. Is there a better body like is there for the fourth body? The only body that we don't know, actually I say I don't know, but they go to, it's a sinner. A sinner, when he goes to the first dimension, he has a body there, but I don't know what kind of a body is that. I don't know, but he has a body. The brother says, whether you are sinner or righteous, you got to go to somewhere and get a body. You have a body there. But that body is not a word body. It's not a word body. You cannot call it a word body. This one is a word body because it's made of the word. Okay, that is for the brave and the righteous. Okay. The books are opened, right? And every man was judged. That's and the bride is telling you that the bride was there, taking these little matters before the law. No, ye not that the saints shall be judged the earth. See, this is like that. Now, paragraph. Why will Satan be roost a little season after 1,000 years of Revelation 20? There's nothing like Revelation 20:27. He's referring to. If you look at that, there's nothing like Revelation 20. There's no where that was. Revelation 20:27. He's referring to, the person who is asking that question is referring to 20 verse 7 and 8 there. That's where he's talking about the Gog and Magog. That's what he's asking. Okay, Revelation 20:23, like that. The Satan is jailed and imprisoned, and then he roosts and he gets to Gog and Magog. Why will he be roosted? Is to go, the purpose that his roost is to go to gather up his people because they have already resurrected his people on the second resurrection. Because Satan has to start the judgment also. He's resurrected because Satan has got to gather his people in Gog and Magog and fight. And God has a purpose now as a reason to get him and to put him to the lake of fire. Okay, judgment also. See, he has to be condemned. Okay. Will you please explain that Satan is about 1,000 years being roost again for the battle of Revelation 2:8? There's a confusion there. And people always confuse that. Revelation 2:8 is Gog and Magog. Gog and Magog. And the prophet knows that he's asking about Armageddon. Now he puts it right. He says, that is not the battle of Armageddon. He says, Revelation 20 verse 8 is Gog and Magog. It's Gog and Magog. It's not Armageddon. Armageddon is before millennium. Gog and Magog is after the millennium. Okay, he says, that's the battle of Armageddon. The battle of Armageddon takes place on this side, where we are, this side before we go to the millennium. Because, listen, people say we are not, this is not millennium. This is not millennium. I know America wants some fresh things and good things, and that's true. There are some houses in the lake. When you go there, it's like, a Kenyan would call it heaven. That's right. An African from Sudan would call it heaven. It's so posh, it's so good. But this is not. This, it will be trillion thousands times better than this. But that whatever you see good here in America, I think this is the best place. Maybe they say Netherlands is beautiful and things like that, or Switzerland or something like that. But it's trillions and trillions. The prophet said he went, and that is not even new heaven and new earth. He said he went to sixth dimension. He said, if you say good, you're not saying anything. You can say this Michael's house is good, and you're saying something. Is right? Now there, You say good, you're not saying that. You say sublime. I don't even know what sublime means. Sublime. You say, you're not saying it. You're not describing it. There are no words to describe sixth dimension. And the prophet says that God has power to create a place that will be God. That will be God. It might not even be God. I don't know whether it's figurative. But it shows how precious that place will be. A most precious place. You cannot describe it. Even saying it's golden, you're not saying it. All right, now. I wish to go there. It comes to a place where this, why are we here? Now, when I see these things, I can see John saying, Father, Lord, come and come quickly. That's right, brothers. Why are we here? That place is good. I want to go. I want to go to the millennium, yes, sir. And nobody else will be there but us. The rest of the people, even good, are going to... But another thing, they are no good people now. That's another thing. They are no good people now. The only good people on earth now is the bride. There's no Gamaliel and Enzo. No. They're nobody. The only people that are here is the bride. So, in this age, the only people that will be in the millennium is us, the bride. I hope you get the bride, not only that. Okay. That is the battle of Armageddon. The battle of Armageddon takes place on this side. See, right? And when the tribulation period has ended. Now, what relationship does this have? Battle of Gog and Magog? None. None. It doesn't have, it's none. One is the 1,000 years, and the other one is the end of the 1,000 years. That's very clear. Isn't it, brothers? That's very clear. One is here, Armageddon is here. Just before you go to the millennium, and after that, the millennium, now you go to Gog and Magog. Is that right? All right. And both, if you look at both of them have a spiritual application. Because there's lies. The devil is there, like the people, and that's war. But there's also bombs. But there's also in this other one, there's Gog and Magog. There's the deception of the people, because the Bible says that he went out and gathered his people and started deceiving them again. Just like he did in Armageddon. But God lays fire. This one in the Armageddon is people. The prophet said, it's not God who is going to destroy the people. It's people with their wisdom, with their knowledge. They have made bombs that can wipe this one. Is that wisdom? But that one will be fire God has brought that cannot not only take you and burn you to ashes, but annihilate you. Is a fire that annihilates you. It will annihilate the devil. We read a quote the other day that time even the devil will not be in our minds. Devil and his children, you never remember them. If you had a friend, a very close friend, who helped you and you loved him so much, when he goes over there and he goes there, you never even remember him. It's called, that fire is, it wipes out everything. The prophet says it wipes even germs. I have quotes on that. And you know, you cannot put every quote here. You cannot do that. So, but if you need something like that, if I have a quote and you ask me, I'll try to give it to you. Okay, I'll try to give it to you. If you have, because you might be wondering, how about this, okay? If you are wondering this, and I have a quote, maybe I don't. But if I have, I will show you. I'll give it to you, okay? I'll give it to you. There are some people who are asking quotes for quotes, and I'm giving them. Even in Kenya, different places. And I'll give you, I will show you. I'm not hiding anything, but you cannot put everything here. I wish I can just put all those quotes. I'm not a quote. I don't do that in the in the groups, Brother Don. People put quotes there, put quotes. And that's good. I'm not like that. But I, if you want me to put all these quotes that I have, it's a big folder, brother. I have about 5 folders on this. About 5 folders. I can't do that. But if you have a question, what about this? We can just go there and look. And I was telling a brother, because they have this problem of, these gadgets. Like they don't have computers, so they rely very much on books. And the brother was telling me how even the brothers have said, we go to talk. Like one brother came like 8 o'clock in the evening, and we don't sleep. We talk the whole night, and that's what, when you hear me, I'm in Kenya. That's kind of my life. In the whole night. until 11. That's where I was taking him to the bus station to go back home. 11 in the morning. That's when I was taking him. All that time we've been talking. He doesn't have a computer. In fact, if you have an iPad or something that you're not using, I would like to give that brother. I'm looking for somewhere to get, because that brother studies. That brother studies. All that, and I tell him, no, just tell me. Because this is not an argument. This is not about to win, brother. I told him, just tell me how it says, how you think it is, and I'm going to give it to you. This is not about, and the brother was laughing and said, and he's arguing with you? He said, yes. I'm not arguing anything. I want to give him. And he said that there's a brother who is saying that I told them, all their quotes are mine. That's right, brother. All the quotes they think they have against me, they are mine. They are all mine. Because I don't throw, when I'm making my doctrine, I don't throw any away. I take all their quotes and my quotes and I gather them together and I preach a certain picture. That's the only way you can preach this. So if you are, like the brother was telling me the other day, Brother Don, Brother Siengo, and that surprised me. With me, I thought the name Jean and Jabel are in the Old Testament. I thought that. And brother, even when he was taking me, I'm going and looking, I said, they are called magicians in the Genesis. It's Paul who, brother, this is all ours. Any quote is yours, anything is yours. Just take it. It's not for beating other people, it's helping them with. I wish that's what Paul said one time. And that, I think, King Agrippa. I think that was King Agrippa. King Agrippa said, with your few words, you want to convert me to that religion? That religion of yours? And Paul said, King Agrippa, I would wish that everything I have, every revelation, that's what he meant. Every revelation I have, everything that I've been given by the grace of God, I wish I would give it to you. But only that you don't get this change. The only thing I would like you to get is this change. But everything that God has, and that's what I wish. Brother, that's what I wish. That everything that we have, that's why I want to go so very much. When you hear me wanting to go, like I went to Pakistan, I don't know why I'm talking about this. Like I went to Pakistan. Did you know, brother, I didn't leave that hotel? They tried to take me. I said, no, I don't want this. Because I'm feeling I want to give this. This is what I want to give. And going around is not bad. And seeing sights, like now, I've given them one day to take me in the villages. I want to see the villages today, this time. Because I even tell the government that I'm going to see places. So I want to make sure that I see places. But my main duty, brother, I want it. I'm crying. I want this to go to the people. Will they beat me with it? Nobody can beat me. Nobody can beat me. They can beat this. But Christ that is in me cannot be beaten. Every quote is swallowed by Christ. It's him, it's those quotes. It's his word. Don't fear nothing. That's what the Bible says. Don't even fear when they say, when they take you and you don't have nothing to say. Just start there. Why don't you think that God can do the same like he did with the prophet? The prophet was told, and cornered, and I found him twice cornered again, brother. One time he was cornered like this. The prophet was cornered like this. You say that there's God? He said, yes. And he was preaching to that man. And he said, yes, there's God. And he said, no, there's nothing like God. If there's God, show me. Show me. Is there this table? Yes. I can touch it. I can see it. Now show me. Let me touch him. And the prophet said, he was completely defeated. And he told that guy, hey, you have quite a mind. You have quite knowledge. You know it. That is true. Because he was telling me, I believe he's there. And he said, yes, I have mind. And just like that, and he was praying. He said, God help me. And just like that, something came to me. What did he say? He said, what did he say? He said, yes, that you have a mind. You said you have a mind? Oh, okay. You have a mind? Okay. Show me now that mind. Let me touch it. And there he was. There he was. Completely done. Just go there, stand there, and don't go there like you know it. You know it all. You're the best. No. We don't know nothing. It's him. Let's start there, and he'll come at the right time, brothers. If you're standing for this truth, God will come. I've seen him so much time, brother. So many times that I know he can.
I know you can.
Are we arguing to show how great you are and the other one is? That's no, you're not him. You're throwing him away and bringing yourself there. No. This is just to take it to them. This is what he says. This is him. This is just give it to them. Give him to them. That's all. Amen. Praise be to God. And let's finish this. I know I'm taking a bit too. I'm sorry, brothers. This is 30. Let me just read the last quote now here. Where are we? Now new heaven and new earth. Is that right? I think that's where we are. Let's read that and just close. I think we have read everything. Morgan Margo sat on his roost in prison and went to gather his people. You know that. Now, there was no more sea. There was new heaven. That's Revelation. That's why I'm saying all this is in the book of Revelation. It's very good in the book of Revelation. If you go to Revelation 21, it's called there was new heaven and new earth, like that. New heaven and new earth. Okay. Let's read this. Let's see this. There was no more sea. The first heaven and first earth was passed away. That's in book of Revelation. What was our first heaven? I think I've said these things, but when the prophet says them is better. What was our first heaven? Was the millennium. That was the first heaven. So now you can see where he says that I saw the new Jerusalem coming from heaven. That is the bride. And the bridegroom coming down. From where? From millennium is the first heaven. Millennium is the first heaven. That's where they're coming from. What was first heaven? Was the millennium. What is the first earth? Was this. It will be renovated. Just like it was baptized by Noah in the days of his preaching. Was sanctified by Christ as he sprinkled his blood upon it. And be renovated. Take all the germs and everything off of it in the renovation at the end. With fire, baptism, that will kill every germ, every sickness, every disease, every filth that was ever on earth. She will burst forth. That is Revelation 21, verse 1, around there, and verse 2. Second Peter 3, it will go with a burst, with a loud voice. That's what it says there. It's the same here. She will burst forth and come forth a new earth. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. First heaven, this first earth was passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem descending from God out of heaven. Wait, I'm calling this. This heaven is millennium. It's not us. That was the first heaven where the bride was. And that's where it's coming from. From heaven. Amen. There, God will be with his true attributes, sons and daughters, where he can fellowship with them in holiness with their eyes brighted to any sin. There will never be no more sin from there on. Praise be to God. Praise be to God. Has he talked a bit? Let him talk. Come, brother. Just a minute to pray. I know you're tired, Brother Dawn. I know you're tired.
God bless you.
Praise the Lord. Amen. I know you love him, and I know you've enjoyed these messages. We were in Edmonton, so we didn't get to hear it because we were visiting the church there. But I listened to it as I was coming up the road yesterday morning. And so I was able to hear that. And so much, brother. So much. Really covered a lot of ground and brought it together. And brother, honestly, it's been so many years since reading those quotes, since those things have been brought, and it brought a lot of things back to me. Some things I realize I've forgotten, and even the children were asking me questions, and I realized I needed to be refreshed because it's been so long. But you brought a lot of good things, and I really appreciate it. I really appreciate you taking the services. I thank God to be back and for a safe journey. I do bring you greetings from Chico, from the girls, and we were able to also see Rose and Isaac, and then Joanne and Gerald, them there. We had a good visit with them. We were able to be with them. Their Thanksgiving, for the Canadian Thanksgiving, was Monday after we got there, and so we were able to enjoy that with them. And it's pretty. I don't know their history, everything, but the Thanksgiving's the same. They have turkey, mashed potatoes and gravy, and pumpkin pie. So it's all. It's the same when it comes to that. So, but we really enjoyed the word, and we really, I think, brought a lot of questions and answered a lot of questions. Mm-hmm. And so we appreciate it so much. And I was thinking when Brother Grumman was talking about eternity, I think that quote is in the future home, in the future home. When Brother Branham, he was talking about the eighth day, and he said that we are in eternity where we were all the time. He said we've come back. And what happened, we just recognized. We just recognized that who we really are and where we have always been. And so we thank God for that. And I'm glad you read those quotes, because you actually answered some of the questions that the girls had. You repeated several things tonight, and it was some of the questions they had, and so it was really good. So I'm not going to talk much. I'm going to try to come on Sunday, and so do you have your date yet? Mm-hmm. You have your ticket?
Yeah, 24,
November.
November
23rd. To January.
To. But I'll be in Pakistan. January
18th. 23rd to the 18th. All right. We're praying. Mm-hmm. Praying for that. So we want to continue to put some money there towards that trip, that God will make a way. He'll be covering a lot of ground and going as many places as possible. And one thing's for sure, what Brother Gumba said about when he's there and going all night, he doesn't stop. He doesn't rest. I don't know how he makes it on so little sleep, but he's really, and there's a great, I don't know what to call it, a great desire, a great demand for him. The people love him so much. And they want to be with him, and they want to draw from him, and he's really proven himself in every way in the spiritual things. I tell you, I think my mind goes back many times. I think about when we first went, and he took a beating. He took a spiritual beating. People accused him of everything, things that weren't true. They fought against him. He'd become an outcast among many of the brethren that he was so close to for so many years. And when he stood on the word, when as God was giving him revelation and he was trying to share it, they put him out because they had their minds made up. And you know, we all at one time or another were in a place that we had an idea in our mind. But the difference is when God brings and gives you revelation, then you lose your own mind. Mm-hmm. You lose your own ideas. Mm-hmm. And that's what Brother Gumba did. And now many of those people have come back. They've come back and they've realized that the things that he was bringing was nothing but the truth. Mm-hmm. And so now it's really, now they're after him. They're pulling. They want him. They want it. And so we thank God for that. So let us stand together. So we look to Him. Let us bow our hearts, our hands. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do thank You so much. Lord, we thank You for this word, this message, these last few messages, Lord, that are bringing so much to our attention. Lord, it's revelation for the last days. Lord, no other age, has known these things, Lord. No other age has had the depth of it. And we thank you and praise you, Lord, that you've come on the scene and revealed, Lord, made it known for this last day bride. Lord, we thank you for Brother Gomba, for his ministry, Lord, for the depth of the word that's living in him. We pray that you would just continue to strengthen him, guide him, Lord, prepare him for the mission field. Lord, give him the words to speak, the things that will quicken the hearts of the seed, Lord, everywhere he goes. Lord, just have your way. May you just prepare the finances, Lord, for everything. Lord, may you just make the way. We just commit it to you. May you be with each one now. Those here, those that would listen in, Lord, let these messages just stir the hearts of each one. So we thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you so much.